Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aarti Drugs Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. With this, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adhish Patil, COO and CFO from Aarti Drugs Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for Aarti Drugs Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. Joining me on the call today are Mr. Harshit Savla, our Joint Managing Director, Mr. Harit Shah, Whole-Time Director, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. I trust you have had the chance to go through our financial results and investor presentation for the quarter, which are available on the stock exchanges and our website. Let me begin with some of the key business updates on Aarti Drugs, followed by the financial highlights. The quarter witnessed improved demand for active pharmaceutical ingredients, leading to a recovery and growth in volumes as compared to Q1 FY25. Our API business grew by 5% on a year-on-year basis. In Q1 FY26, the total revenues grew by 6% year-on-year to rupees 591 crores, with gross profit margins improving by 130 basis points year-on-year to 36.8%. EBITDA has increased by 12% year-on-year to rupees 74 crores, and EBITDA margins improving to 12.6%. Gross profit margin improvement is primarily attributed to the normalization of input cost. Looking forward, we anticipate further improvement in EBITDA margins driven by multiple factors. These include an expected growth in global API demand and higher penetration in regulated markets, leading to uptick in selling prices as well as enhanced capacity utilization. On the capacity expansion side, our greenfield project at Saykha, Gujarat, has started trial production. This plant has been set up mainly for backward integration into anti-diabetic products and their intermediates, and is expected to largely serve internal requirements. This backward integration is a key strategic step that should help improve profit margins over time and reduce the risk of input cost volatility. This project will support internal requirements for our anti-diabetic products and choline chloride, contributing to backward integration, margin improvement, and supply chain de-risking. Secondly, we continue to make progress on scaling up of our Tarapur greenfield site, where we launched salicylic acid production, entering a market historically dominated by imports. While the plant faced some initial startup issues, which is typical during the early stages of new products for in-house developed technology, these have been effectively addressed and are being implemented at the plant level. The company is now focused on a calibrated ramp-up of operation. This is expected to begin contributing to the company's financials from the third quarter of FY26 onwards. Current output levels still stand below 200 tons per month, and we expect to ramp up to 800 tons per month very soon and further expand installed capacity to approximately 1,600 metric tons per month. We view this ramp-up as strategically important, not just from a volume perspective, but also in strengthening domestic self-reliance. This strengthens our product mix and supports diversification into adjacent value chains. With the manufacturing capacity exceeding 1,450 tons per month, ADL is one of the leading metformin manufacturers in the world. We are aiming for higher utilization. In future, we are planning for additional 350 tons per month of brownfield expansion. The launch of Gliptin will further enhance and solidify the position of the company in anti-diabetic category. During Q1 FY26, the company incurred CapEx of roughly around 48.5 crores at a consolidated level, mainly towards capacity expansion, backward integration, safety, and finished formulation R&D. For FY 2026, we expect CapEx to be in the range of 150 crores-200 crores. In the formulation business, we have grown by 14% year-on-year to rupees 80 crores in Q1 FY 2026. 57% of the revenue contribution for formulation is from exports during the quarter. We have commenced commercial operations in Latin America and few African markets, along with undertaking new registrations in export markets and government tenders. Our formulation subsidiary has achieved a key milestone with U.S. FDA approval for its oncology facility and U.K. MHRA approval for our oral solid dosage facility. In parallel, we are actively developing and registering new oncology dossiers across global markets. These efforts are expected to drive meaningful growth in our regulated market presence starting FY 2027 onwards. A lot of new regulated customer audits have been triggered at the recently U.S. FDA-approved Tarapur API facility. We also plan to expand this facility by putting more production blocks in future. Additionally, we are rebuilding presence in the U.S. market. This has been a meaningful development for us as it enables our re-entry into the one of the most important regulated markets. While it may take some time to scale up, this opens up future growth opportunities for several of our API products. Recently, the U.S. government announced steep tariffs on pharmaceutical products and API imports from countries like China in a move to reduce reliance on Chinese supply chain. This policy shift is likely to disrupt global sourcing patterns, but it also creates a significant opportunity for Indian API players. At Aarti Drugs, with our recently U.S. FDA-approved API facility and strong proven manufacturing capabilities, we are well-positioned to capitalize on this transition and cater to the evolving demand landscape in global markets. It is also worth noting that regulated markets like Europe and the U.S. offer superior margins. With more of our products receiving EU certifications from larger plants, we are shifting high-value exports to lower-cost platforms, improving our margin capture. While volume growth has been steady, we expect meaningful pickup from H2 FY 2026 onwards as our newer assets stabilized. Volumes are picking up, and we also expect better realizations as global API demand begins to normalize. Over the medium term, we remain committed to our strategy of deepening backward integration and improving cost competitiveness. Finally, inching towards sustainability, we have continued to make progress. One key development in FY 2025 was the commissioning process of the 24.4 MW solar project through our joint venture with Prozeal Green Power. This project is being developed to support part of our power requirements in Maharashtra and Gujarat. Once fully operational, we expect this investment to help lower long-term power cost and also strengthen our ESG profile by reducing our carbon footprint. This aligns with our broader effort to reduce dependence on conventional energy and move towards cleaner, more sustainable operations. To conclude, we remain focused on operational execution and disciplined cost control in what continues to be a dynamic business environment. Looking ahead, we expect further improvement in margins, supported by a normalization in API pricing, ramp-up of newly commissioned capacity, better capacity utilization, and higher value export opportunities in regulated markets. The broader margin profile is also likely to benefit from greater internal sourcing and improved product mix. With that, I would now like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Dhavnil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning everyone. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are audible.
Okay. Hi, Adish. Congratulations for a decent set of numbers. So my first question is that we have seen a very good improvement in our gross margin, both YOY and QOQ. But the same gross margin delta is not getting reflected in EBITDA margin, to the extent, of course, we have improved 70 basis points, but, some of that has been lost in the other expenses. So when do we expect this gross margin delta to fully flow through to EBITDA? And, how, as you are saying that the backward integration and internal sourcing plus maybe better realization, if that happens over, let's say, next 3 to 6 months, then how should we look at the gross margin going forward?
Yeah. So, the gross margins have improved, no doubt, with further backward integration of our Saykha plant. We certainly hope that they will improve a bit further. Having said that, after that improvement, obviously, the regulated market sales will lead to higher selling prices. That will also lead to better gross margins. But having said that, with the current gross margins, what we achieved in this quarter, had we, had better utilization of the capacity, then probably our EBITDA margins would have been better, almost above 14.5%, even with these gross margins. So this particular quarter, though the gross margins were good, but because of the slightly lower utilization of the capacities, it did not flow into the EBITDA margins. And there are obviously other factors, as you pointed out, which can lead to further improvement in the gross margins itself.
Got it. So essentially, let's say from QOQ perspective, let's say next quarter onwards, do we see improve in the capacity utilization, or shall we expect that from S2 onwards only?
Yeah. So there are multiple factors from where the improvement in the financials will come from. One is definitely the higher utilization of the current API business itself. Other is by getting newer customer approvals for the existing APIs in the regulated markets. And third but not the least, we are expensing out a lot of losses for the salicylic acid plant in last quarters. So that continues into this quarter as well. As I pointed out in the press release that our current capacity utilization still had been below 200 tons per month. And it will take somewhere around 500-600 tons per month of capacity and production for us to break even. So definitely with the improvement in the utilization of salicylic acid plant, definitely in 2 quarters time we see betterment in the capacity utilization, and plus as new markets open up, the existing business will also have better capacity utilization in the coming years.
Second question is on the you mentioned in your press release that a lot of customer visits from regulated markets have happened and are happening. So, you also say that U.S. may take a little more time. But if you can give some idea about where our current Europe business stands and, how should you, how do we perceive that Europe business growing, in FY26 and FY27, based on the, U.S. FDA approval that we have received for the plant?
Yeah. So our Europe, definitely our U.S. business is almost nil. As far as APIs are concerned, we just got the import alert lifted in December, and January we got the official letter from USFDA as well. our three of our products are already being referred in ANDAs. So we are quite bullish about those three products to be launched very soon in U.S. FDA market. But having said that, the U.S. FDA, U.S. market definitely takes more time. You know, a lot of gestation period is there. So probably by, I can say safely, after 9 to 12 months, probably we can start with the commercial supplies if everything goes smooth. And as far as the Europe market is concerned, that will start much earlier than the U.S. market is what we feel. Because our plant was already EDQM compliant, but because of that import alert, a lot of customers were reluctant buying from that plant for the Europe market as well. So our Europe market has also opened up. And if you see our investor presentation, we have mentioned that in FY 2024, our Europe was around 14%, and FY 2025 was around just around 12%. So that can significantly go up. So we can safely assume that after 9 to 12 months, the registered sales from our Tarapur API facility, which has been recently approved by FDA, should commence commercial sales.
Okay. So this 12%, you know, let's say over the next 2 years, can it go to 20% plus? Is that how we should look?
Not so definitely we'll try to, because it can go to 20%, because there are multiple things which we are trying. Two things. So first of all, what we are doing is that all our CEPs, you know, the European approvals, we are trying to move to our existing plants, you know, the bigger plants, not the multipurpose, but the dedicated plants. So from there, you know, if we start supplying to the European market, we will be able to supply at a very, very cheap rate. You know, though that rate would be better than the other markets, but as compared to the same product is being sold at a very expensive rate as of today in the same market. So we can supply at much lower rate from that. So definitely 15% to 20% is possible. And also our E22 facility, the U.S. FDA facility, we have adjoining land parcel where we are putting up more blocks, but that will take time, around 3 to 24 months for blocks to, you know, get commissioned. But the approval process can be a bit faster for products, because we will start to apply for the product from the existing production block, so that, you know, there can be some overlap between the product approval process and the commercial operation from the newer blocks.
And last question. You know, at the start of the year, we were expecting, 15% kind of a volume growth and negative price variance of, let's say, around 5%. So at least double-digit growth in revenue. And so first, are we on track for that? And if I understand correctly, in the base, that negative price variance will be in H1. And in H2, probably if the prices remain same, there will be no negative price variance. So then H2 onwards, maybe top line growth will be upward of 15%. Is that how should we look at it?
Yeah, it is fairly possible what you said, that the H2 growth can go in double digits. For the first quarter, that is June 25, on year-on-year basis, we had a volume uptick of around 9%, and the negative price variation was roughly around 4.5%, and that is why we achieved that, you know, 4 to 5% or 4 to 6% of growth in the standalone and consolidated company.
Thank you. I have more questions. I'll come back.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Rehan Sayyad from Trinitra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible.
So, sir, first of all, congratulations for the certain number and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So, sir, I have a couple of questions regarding So, first of all, sir, from your current pipeline of API formulation products, how many do you plan to commercialize in FY23? Are there any high margin or niche launches in focus? Could you please clarify regarding this?
I could not understand your question. Can you just repeat the part of it?
Yeah, sure. So from the current pipeline of API and formulation products, how many do you plan to commercialize in FY 2026? Are there any high margin or niche launches in processing focus regarding in upcoming quarters or maybe in a year?
Okay. So you're asking about newer product launches in the coming few quarters?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the main product R&D we are doing, what we are doing for formulation business in regulated markets for oncology as well as for other solid dosages. So the regular dosages are being developed and registered as you speak, whereas the oncology dosages will take a little bit of time. What we expect is that by December of next year, that is December 2026, by that time, most of the R&D would be done for at least 10 oncology products, and we'll be filing the dossiers for approvals. And from there, it might take around six, 7 months for the approvals. And then the commercial sales of the oncology product will start. As far as the APIs are concerned, it's an ongoing process because in APIs, though we manufacture roughly around 45-50 molecules in a year, our top 20 almost contributes around 90-92% of the total sales. So all the trail molecules which are already there, so what we expect is slowly, slowly the demand of these trail molecules will increase. And similarly, we keep adding a few of the other products as well in the product basket. One such product which can grow and we might need to production capacity is a fluconazole antifungal product. Already in Ketorolac, which is our leading antifungal product, we have largest market share and production capacities in the entire globe. So it's an ongoing process as far as the and the formulation I just explained.
Yes. Okay. And so one more, I want to just clarify about your Saykha facility. If you have just covered this, please repeat or more clarify regarding it. The Saykha facility has started trial production. When do you expect full commercialization and from which quarter which you will see starts with its impact on revenue and margins for this quarter or maybe in full year?
Okay. So the Saykha facility is mainly put for backward integration for captive consumption purpose. But along with that, there will be some, you can say, side chain products which will be produced simultaneously, which we'll have to sell outside. So we have started the trial production now, and it's a very high temperature, high pressure kind of a reaction. So it's very common for that kind of a plant, whenever you start the operation for the first time, to observe some leakages in pipelines or some equipment, and then you have to plug those leakages and restart the facility. So we have been doing this since a couple of months. And now, though we are pretty confident, but within a week's time, we will come to know whether any more leakages are being observed or not. And if they're not observed, then we will be putting that facility to use in this September quarter itself. And if not, if we find some problems, then probably it might go to Q3. But very high chances that that facility might be put to use in Q2 itself.
Okay. So I just wanted to clarify your sentence. You are targeting for quarter two, and if something goes wrong, so it may be go to quarter three, right? Am I right?
Correct. Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so last one bookkeeping question. If you have guided for 150-200 crore this year, so how much of this will directly contribute to growth? What return on capital you are expecting to target while approving this project?
Yeah.
If you can share.
Your voice is a bit not clear. I'm not able to understand.
Yeah. I'll repeat a little bit. You guided for 150-200 crore CapEx this year. How much of this will directly contribute to growth if you can? What ROC you can expect you shall target while approving such projects?
Okay. Okay. Understood. So see, roughly 50% of this probably will be investing in the new product R&D in the formulation business. mainly towards oncology and a bit towards non-oncology as well, but targeting the regulated markets, roughly 50% of it. And the rest could be done in the parent company for brownfield expansion of a lot of products. We have certain products in mind, like some antifungal product, then cardiovascular products. And we are also putting up new block for our USFDA facility. And even our anti-diabetic therapy, we are trying to expand. So there are a lot of brownfield expansions involved. So you can say that other than, you can say 10 to 15%, rest all 80-85% would be focused for growth and not for maintenance in this. And
okay.
Definitely.
Your voice is not coming.
Sorry, and now can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes, sir, you're coming up here.
Yeah. So definitely, as we speak, we are doing a lot as far as safety is concerned. Since last 1.5 year, we have spent almost around, 10-15 crores for better equipment, for better GMP equipment, and safer equipment, so that the accidents or small mishaps, what happens at plant level, we are trying to reduce that by having better equipment, better maintenance, and also automizing most of the things, and doing a lot of things on the safety part. So definitely that has also been one of the key focus areas as far as CAPEX is concerned.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of A.M. Lodha from Tanmati Consultants. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
I would feel highly obliged if you management give some guidance about volume in FY26 and FY27 and value-wise growth in FY26 and FY27.
Okay. So when we started the year, we had certain volume growth in mind for FY26 and FY27. We had, roughly a CAGR growth of 15%, roughly 15% year-on-year growth for this coming 2 years. It might so happen that you can get 10% here and 20% in next year. That we cannot predict much, but roughly 15% CAGR growth in volumes we had targeted for the FY27. And for this year, the first half, year-on-year, there can be a negative price variation of around -4% to -6% for the first half only. And from the second half onwards, the negative price variation will go away. So whatever growth in volumes is there, that will translate into value as growth.
Okay. What about the FY27, how much value growth we can expect?
Same, 15%.
Based on the prevailing prices.
Yeah. Based on the prevailing prices, we expect 15% on in each year.
15% on each year value growth. Okay, sir. What is the net debt? My second question is, what is the net debt of the company on debt?
So on a consolidated level, it is slightly below, somewhere near about 597 crores, of which around 56% is a long-term debt and 44% is working capital debt.
Can we expect some reduction in the loan? Almost capex, big capex is over?
Yes, actually what you say is correct, that in spite of doing heavy capex and having two big shareholder payouts in last two financial years, almost to the tune of roughly around 80 to 85 crore each year. So both combined, it would be somewhere in the range of 170 crore or something. Plus the capex we have done, still we are able to manage the debt at this 597 crore level. So we do feel that if we don't take up new capex or new capacity expansions, this debt level can further come down drastically.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. Thanks a lot. I've done, sir.
Thank you. Reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Majid Ahmed from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir? Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, I just want to understand, like, you were in a presentation you have mentioned 1,200 crores of revenue that's going to come from the upcoming capex. And so if I take 1,200 crores of top line, like, it could be starting from H2, but even if I take those numbers, then it is around from the current level of revenue, it is around 45-50% growth from the current level of revenue. So I just want to clearly understand, like, if, as you were saying, 15% volume growth and not much pricing growth in place, and you are saying 300 crores of captive consumption. I just want to understand that for those numbers here.
Yeah. So the thing is, for the full water capacities we are putting in right now, for the full benefit to translate into financials, it might take around 3 years. So it might flow into FY28 for the, you know, for optimum utilization of all these greenfield capex what we are doing right now.
So it will be, the revenue will start coming more in an upper phase manner, which 1,200 crores.
It will come up in a phase manner. You are very much correct.
Okay. And so going forward, like as we are also reinvesting our operating cash flow going forward, and you have also mentioned a dividend payout, like, how are you then going to manage your debt as well going forward?
Yeah.
So can you manage and reduce debt cost?
Yeah. So as I was just talking with the previous caller, that in spite of doing, around 170 crores of shareholder payout, either in the form of buyback or dividend, and carrying a capex of roughly around 150 to 200 crores each year, still we were able to keep our debt at 597, which roughly translates to around 0.42 or 0.43 debt to equity ratio. And in last 2-3 years, our debt to equity ratio has been systematically coming down, in spite of doing heavy capex as well as giving out shareholder payouts. So the company's policy of 25% shareholder payout, we can easily maintain that policy and still keep our debt levels very much in control. So that won't be an issue.
So the debt level of debt to equity of 0.4, 0.5 would be maintained going forward.
Yeah. So we, as management, we feel that around roughly around 0.4 to 0.7 is a fair enough number to keep debt to equity levels, because it also helps in achieving higher ROE because of the leverage, debt leverage. So that would be a good number to keep. Having said that, if we don't do shareholder payout for any reason, if we don't do it, then our debt to equity ratio will fall down significantly.
Got it. And my third question is regarding, especially have your earlier FY25 to 26, the API contribution has went down from 80% to 77.6%. So going forward, like, what would be the overall revenue contribution between API formulation and other? Like, what's the direction that you're seeing?
Okay. So a couple of percent here and there is what we have been seeing in our recent last few quarters. And the main reason for that is a slight volatility in the demand or tenders of formulation business. So sometimes, if the sale of formulation business is less, then suddenly the API component looks higher. Having said that, I will just give a fair enough range. As of today, our business is roughly around 78 to 80% of APIs, roughly around 8% of spec chem and intermediates, and rest 12 to 14% is formulation. That is the rough split what we have as of now. And given our expansion plans, so we are expanding our formulation business, and in 3 years horizon, we do feel that formulation business will almost double from here, or it might reach to around 550 to 600 crores once the oncology also commercializes. Along with that, the two main greenfield CapEx what we have put in the standalone company, the salicylic acid probably would go in intermediate space, salicylic acid. Though it has a final application in dermatology as well, but we might classify most of the sales as a part of intermediates because it goes in the manufacturing of salicylates, which has a lot of application in perfumes and flavor industry. And Saykha facility which has come up, that will help in backward integration for our anti-diabetic portfolio, as well as some specialty chemical products will come out from there, which we'll be selling outside. So our spec chem and intermediate percentage might go up from that 8% to, let's say, 15% in 3 to 4 years horizon. So API might be around 75% or something like that, 70-75%. Spec chem and intermediate might grow little faster, and the formulation will also grow to the same extent.
The final question that I have is going forward, like if we have to make sure that the margins, like because you're saying you're going for with the Saykha plant coming in as a backward integration, what type of gross margin expansion are we looking at? Any numbers can you give?
So though it is very difficult to predict for the next 2 years, but what we see that if we look at the current pricing levels of those intermediates, then definitely a percent or two, that I would say that plus the regulated market sales, what put together, it can definitely help us to improve the gross contribution margin by around couple of percent. The higher regulated market sales plus the backward integration of Saykha.
So if I can assume gross margin expansion of 250 bps, plus if you can do cost rationalization of the fixed cost, can it move towards like 15-16% EBITDA within the coming year?
Yeah. It is fairly achievable if everything goes right.
Thank you so much. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're audible. Please go ahead.
So what is the current TAM of this salicylic acid in India?
The market potential?
Total addressable market.
Yeah. So, salicylic acid roughly has almost 20 kiloton per annum kind of a market in India.
So, and who are the leading producers?
So, there are three main producers in China from where the salicylic acid is being imported. The Indian capacities are very limited as far as salicylic acid is concerned. So what the market potential which I told you is purely imports, which is happening in China.
So basically we are competing with China. So what will be the cost of production for them in like this particular intermediate in China versus our cost of production?
Yeah. So, salicylic acid, when we started the commissioning of plant and till we reached the end stage and started actually selling the product in the market a little bit, till that time the margins were very high, but as soon as we started manufacturing the product, definitely the Chinese competition has reacted and trying to create entry barrier by dumping the salicylic acid into India and reducing the prices significantly as compared to the trend what we have seen in last 4 to 5 years. So that makes a very special case. So even having said that, if we reach at around 800 tons per month kind of a capacity, we can still break even with the current pricing, the you can say the pricing equivalent to the dumping of salicylic acid by Chinese manufacturers into India. Even at that level, you can make break even at around 800, 900 tons per month. Now the thing is, because they have reduced the prices sharply after an Indian manufacturer has come into existence, it makes a very good case for anti-dumping duty. So we are approaching government for that. We are making a case. We will be filing it soon once we compile the entire data. We also introduced salicylic acid into BIS, that is the Bureau of Indian Standards, in last year. That also is a part of creating a little bit of, you know, barrier for the Chinese producers to sell that product into India. So it's a very tough job to compete with China, no doubt about that. But for most of the product basket which we have in API space, our main competition is only from China. So we are pretty much, you know, habituated to the Chinese competition. So it will be like any other product for us.
So one last question on this particular part. So what is the current prices of salicylic acid, and what will be the price if the ADD is imposed?
So the ADD, we won't be able to tell you right now because that depends on the decision of government. But the current selling price is roughly in the range of, you know, 119 to 120 rupees per kg for salicylic acid after paying the duty.
190 to 120?
No, 119 to 120.
And this, prior to Chinese player dumping, what was the price?
It was roughly in the range of 150 rupees per kg, 140 to 150.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dhruv Archekar from Tiger Asset Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes, thank you. So my question is that the US has imposed the high tariff on the Chinese APIs. So how the RP expects to capture opportunities in the US and as well as in the other market and resulting demand optics and the contract wins?
So this US, so this tariff basically would matter in relative terms. What I mean is, mainly there are two major API hubs in the world, China and India. So if the Chinese tariffs are higher than Indian tariffs, that will definitely help us in getting, you know, better margins and keeping our costs low, definitely. But having said that, as far as US market is concerned, cost of production is not that big of an issue for us because we are competing with China even with the even in the unregulated markets, in the rest of ROW markets. So definitely this tariff will help us to some extent, just like the way China plus one strategy trading during the COVID period. So it will help us, no doubt about that. And fortunately, this has come right when we got the USFDA pullback. So definitely the customers might also feel, the customers who are solely dependent on China will feel the need, you know, to approve more Indian sources. So that will definitely help us in getting more approvals, no doubt about that.
Okay, sir. And my last question is regarding the CapEx. As you mentioned that there is a CapEx of around 48 crores for FY26 guide. So how is the CapEx?
Sir, your audio is breaking.
Hello. Yeah,
sir.
Am I audible again?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. So my last question is regarding the CapEx. As the one CapEx is around 40 crores and the FY26 guidance of 150 to 200. So how is this?
Uh, I think I was not able to hear the sentence clearly. Hello?
Yeah, so like question
sir,
is, yeah, Mike.
Sorry to interrupt, your audio is not clear. The voice is breaking.
Is it breaking now? Am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
So my question is, how this is being financed for and what is the expected return for the profile?
So if I get your question correctly, I think you are asking about the how are we going to finance the capex?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So typically what we do, whenever there is brownfield expansion, we do it from the internal accruals itself. And only for the bigger greenfield projects or the newer big projects, relatively big projects, we take term loan financing from banks. Because our cost of debt for the long term was roughly in the range of 8.3 to 8.5%, but now it will come down drastically because of the reduction in the interest cost.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Just two clarities. One is on tax rate. You know, from last two quarters, we are doing a tax rate of around 20%. So in FY 26-27, will it be in the range of 24-25 or it will be in the range of 20% to 21% given the deferred tax rate?
Yeah, yeah. Next financial year, that is FY 27 onwards, it will be like 25% probably. This time we have been getting a lot of income tax refunds in this financial year and even in last week also. So whatever refunds we are getting, we are adjusting in the tax provision directly. So that is the reason why the tax provision might look a bit lower in this year and last year.
So then, what will be your guidance for FY 26?
26, you're asking?
Yeah, FY 26, how much should we assume? How much should we model in?
Okay. I don't have the exact numbers as of now, but probably we might, around 30 crores of tax rebate we might get. So that much provision we might do less for the interview.
Okay. So roughly then it would come in the range of 20-21%.
Yeah. I haven't done the calculation yet.
Okay. And okay. No, it would be pretty lower in case if it is 30 crores, right? In case if it is, if the refund is coming in that range.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I'll take that offline. So on the EBITDA margin front, you know, you mentioned that, you know, 15-16% EBITDA margin is achievable. That 15-16%, you are guiding it for starting from FY26 only, or you believe that this will happen only in FY27?
For the entire year, it should happen only in FY27. This year, probably the outgoing means the last quarter of this financial year, probably we might try to achieve that. But the main, the annual numbers, if you look at them, probably I would suggest FY27 would be the right year.
Okay, and FY27, basically 15% value growth is what we are expecting. And EBITDA margin of around 15-16% is something which is achievable with whatever you know factors which will be driving the growth and margin which you have already mentioned.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's it for myself.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Maitri Shah from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am, you're audible.
Yeah, a few clarities. The value decrease you said for the first half will be 4%-5%. What sort of increase are we expecting in the second half and for FY 2027?
Yeah. So, for the first half of this FY 2026, we might be having a negative price variation of roughly around 5%. So what we feel is that the current value-wise growth of 5% to 6% is what we will have in the first half, and we will try to increase it to around, you know, 10% or more in the second half of FY 2026. Having said that, I would just like to point out one thing, that the Q4 of FY 2025, that is the March 2025 quarter, our sales, the demand and the volumes were quite high. So that would be one of the challenge, but otherwise, 10% volume-wise growth is fairly, means, you know, we can easily try to target that. We can even try for 15%, frankly speaking, in the second half of FY 2026.
So this is the value growth, not the volume growth, right?
Yeah. So second half value and volumes would be more or less similar, both the growth.
Okay, value, volume, more or less. And for FY 2027, the same range, because we are also entering the regulated markets now.
Correct.
So again, 10%-15% on value and 10%-15% on volume. Is that correct?
Yes.
And for the EBITDA, we're targeting 15%.
EBITDA, yeah, we're targeting 15%. With you know, optimum utilization of all these greenfield CapEx what we are putting in.
And salicylic acid, the sales will be only domestic, or are we targeting any international sales as well?
So as of now, so definitely, you know, wherever we find the pockets in the global market, we will try to you know, target them, because we do have a very good distribution network across the globe. We are exporting more than 100 countries as far as APIs and intermediate spectrum is concerned. So wherever pockets we find in the across the globe, we will try to target that as well, no doubt about that. Having said that, the main market of salicylic acid is here in India. So it will be more skewed towards domestic sales.
And the formulation business, you said you're targeting 550 to 600 crores through oncology. So that will happen post 2 years or within like the next 3 years?
Yeah, so it will take 3 years. It will bare minimum take 3 years. So this 550 to 600 as of now, I'm saying, means in 3 years time, is because of both oncology as well as the other OSD registrations what we are doing across the globe. As you say that, means we got UK MHRA approval for our regular OSD facility in Baddi. We already have peaks approval for the same, and as we speak today, we are also having ongoing audit for another regulated market. So if that goes well, then we will be on the right path to, you know, manufacture more and more regulated formulation products in our own facility and export it to the regulated market. So 550 to 600 by FY 28, I would say. Because the oncology piece will play, I was telling that by December 26, probably most of the work in R&D would be done for 8-10 products. Then we'll be filing those, and then you can assume, you know, 6 to 9 months for 2 and 4 between the regulatory authorities. And then we'll be able to start the commercial sales. But meanwhile, we do have a USFDA approved oncology plant. And if there are some other formulation companies in India or abroad who wants, you know, to get toll manufacturing done in a USFDA approved facility for oncology, which are very few across the globe. So if we get those opportunities, we will do that to increase the utilization of the plant.
Are any of those in pipeline, or it's just an opportunity?
Yeah, so we are talking with you. I cannot give you an estimate on that, but we are talking with you.
Okay. And any idea on the tariff differential that will happen with, for like China and India from the US?
Yeah. So see, the only concern for us would be if the Indian tariff should not be more than Chinese tariff, which seems very high. It seems unlikely. So we are not worried that much because if you speak about API market in US, cost is not that much of a big factor. It is mainly, you should be able to get the tie-ups done in the US market. So it's more about marketing than the cost, because we are not worried about the cost as far as whatever products we are manufacturing in the US FDA plant.
Okay. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Meet Mehta from Prasoon Exponentials. Please go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question for today. The next question comes from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. Just one question. So, if we go back in time, even pre-COVID, with let's say 35% or even less gross margin, we were doing 15-16% EBITDA margin. And currently we stand at, close to 37% EBITDA margin with room for improvement. So, below gross margin, as and when, I understand currently the EBITDA margins are lower because of the lower capacity utilization. But as we achieve optimal capacity utilization, shouldn't we expect EBITDA margin north of 16%, purely going by, historical numbers? Or is there any cost which has significantly increased below gross margin, which will keep margins in check to 15-16%? If you can help us understand this dynamics, what was there in the past, what can happen in the future.
Yeah. So if we look at the standalone profitability for the March 25 quarter, as you said, you are right that even with the gross contribution of around 35.2%, we were able to do an EBITDA of 14.5%. So already we are like more than, almost 1% better. So that 14.5 should be around 15.5. And with a better gross margin, why not, 16.5 or 17.5? So, So the thing is, you're correct. So in the best possible quarter, in the best possible quarter where the utilizations are very high, everything is good, probably we might be able to hit those margins. Because our power expenses, which would be roughly around 3%. So, with the solar power coming in, our manufacturing expenses will go down a little bit. Our manufacturing expenses, as you see, if you look at all the past 5 quarters, they don't go up that significantly, even if the sales go up, So definitely an incremental profitability of 25% is there. What I mean is, after 500 or 600 crores, if I do 600 crores of more sales, probably it adds around 25 crores to my bottom line in the PBT. So that much leverage is possible. When the Saykha plant comes in, definitely the expenses will go up, because right now we are not expensing it out because it is in CWIP. But the good part is that the salicylic acid plant, where it hasn't come into sales much, but the entire cost is being expensed out as of today. In fact, for the last 5 quarters, we have completely expensed out the cost as far as salicylic acid plant is concerned. So once that goes in profit, definitely it will help in improving the EBITDA margin by almost around 1% at the company level.
Got it. So what you are saying is that there is a potential, but you are currently guiding for 15-16%.
Yes, correct.
Okay. And one more question on salicylic acid. You mentioned that
800 tons with the lower prices that China is dumping at, we will do break-even. But I'm sure that, all endeavors are to, again, at least get to that, company-level EBITDA margins. So is it fair to assume that without anti-dumping duty, difficult to get to that 14%-15% EBITDA margin in salicylic acid?
Yeah. So one thing is that as of now, that is already factored into our financials. Whatever EBITDA margins we are showing right now is with the loss of salicylic acid. That is one thing. Secondly, yes, on a standalone basis for that salicylic acid project, the thing is right now, we are talking about 800, but the final aim is going to 1,600 tons per month. So when we reach at those levels, 1,500-1,600 tons per month, definitely we feel that the margins will look much better. And typically what we have seen that when we start manufacturing a product day in and day out in a dedicated facility, then we get a lot of new things to reduce the cost. But right now what is happening because of the equipment, we were not able to run the production smoothly in a continuous form. And that is the reason why we are not able to bring in the cost reduction efficiencies in salicylic acid as of now. But we are confident that once we reach that 1,500-1,600 tons per month kind of a level, then the company-level margins should come in. And having said that, what we feel that as of now, see, China, even from January to July, in this period also, they have further reduced the salicylic acid price by around 6%-7%. And that is only to, discourage the Indian manufacturers, from producing. But fortunately, actually, had we been the standalone company manufacturing only salicylic acid, it could have been a problematic situation for us. But we have such a big product basket that the other products can easily absorb the loss of salicylic acid as of now. So as soon as we break even, we will be in much better position at the company level. And then from that point onwards, when we go to till 1,500-1,600 tons per month, we will be even better. And there is always a scope of salicylic acid derivatives manufacturing because in India, most of the companies are manufacturing the derivatives of salicylic acid and exporting it to the world. Exporting that has a lot of export potential. So that is always there. But as of now, we are not focusing on that because, first of all, we'll try to focus on selling salicylic acid to those Indian customers. And if that doesn't work well, then we have an option to go for the derivatives.
Very helpful, Rajesh. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we'll take this as a last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today on this earnings call, and we hope we have been able to answer to most of your questions. We appreciate your interest in Aarti Drugs Limited. If you have any further queries, please contact SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you.
On behalf of Aarti Drugs Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.